Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Amen. The book of Genesis, chapter 21, verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And while you're searching for that or clicking in your app for that, I'm thankful I got my daughter with me tonight. My Kel is with me and my son Cole is with me tonight. And they're both single, but she's not allowed to mingle, but Cole is single. So have at it. Glory to God. 20 years old. Amen. On the market. My daughter, she can't get married, but he's available. Amen. And Michael, the one that's not allowed to be married, is she has our product table in the back. There's three books out there. One is called Use Me, Lord. This is a practical guide to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. More important than the book, in my opinion. There's a QR code in there, and if you scan that, there's 3 hours of audio teaching in the book. I wrote this book as if I was writing to me 26 years ago. I was hungry. I wanted to know how to hear the voice of God. I wanted to know how to pray for the sick. And so this book is very special to me because it's me talking to myself 26 years ago, a practical guide to hearing the voice of the Spirit, the necessity for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the difference in the gifts of the Spirit, the need for accountability and covering, and things that I really believe will help you. And then my pastor wrote a book called Fresh Oil, Holy Fire, and New Wine, Pastor Sam Rodriguez. And so to bless him, I bought a bunch of several boxes of his book. That's out there. And then there's another book out there that I wrote called Revival Makers, which God didn't call us to be revival chasers. The body of Christ has chased revival all over the globe. We've been to Azusa, to Topeka, to Brownsville, to Toronto. I mean, we bought passports. We went to Africa. We went to Brazil chasing it. And God reminded us, I didn't call you to be revival chasers. I called you to be revival makers. Mark 16, these signs follow them that believe. And so that's what that book is about. And so Michael, who wants a plane ticket home, will be at the book table earning her plane ticket home. Amen. All right. And that's all I have to say about that. The book of Genesis, chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord kept his word. Someone needs to hear that tonight. And the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly, someone say exactly. The Lord kept his word and he did exactly what he had promised. And I'm just going to preach a simple thought tonight. Trust God with the details. Amen. Father, I ask you to use me for your glory tonight. Let everything I say and everything we do bring glory to your name. I pray that you touch ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to discern. And I pray that the word would be confirmed with signs, miracles, and wonders that when we leave this house, we'll say, surely, we've been in the presence of God. And we say the house is ready for the word in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Trust God with the details. When I was growing up, now, Pastor Hoop and I, you know, all we've ever known is the church. We're church kids. We had a subculture. Most of amen. That's my pastor calling me right now. Amen. And he's on there as Batman because he tells everyone I'm Robin, but I won't wear the tights because I was raised in holiness, but let him know he called me in the middle of church. Forgive me for not turning my ringer off, Pastor Hooper. But we were raised in a culture where you couldn't bring your phone to church, hallelujah, because we didn't have phones you could bring to church. We had a subculture in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s of being raised under the church pew, and we were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. The only day we had off is Monday, and nobody sins on a Monday. That's why no one ever backslid back in those days, and so we were raised in this, and we were raised around incredible preaching. I mean, powerful preaching, and men and women of God that would get up, and they would sometimes they would just, these sayings would come to them, just these what nowadays people would call a tweet or a one-liner, and they would just, it'd come to them, just make you, you know, do a Holy Ghost shimmy, and just, whoo, man, it'd hit you. And I remember the first time I heard someone get up and say, let go and let God. Man, that sounds good. It sounds good. It preaches good. It sings good. It's very difficult to live. It is very difficult to let go and let God, .. Because we have this nature of us wanting to control and fix everything. We think, it's kind of funny, we think God needs our help. Not because he's not capable, not because he's not mighty. We just somehow think he's too busy. Or maybe, if we're being real honest, we think he's not fast enough for what we want. And so because we were raised with microwaves and now air fryers, and because we can't wait for the yeast and the rolls to rise, and we can't let it sit in a room for 2 or 3 days under a towel that no one knows what else that towel is for, but letting the yeast rise, because we can no longer wait for that, we have to cook with Jiffy, and even Jiffy isn't fast enough for my child's generation. So because he's not fast enough, because we think he might be we think he might be distracted by what's happening in the Middle East and what's happening in Russia and Ukraine and what's happening with all 400,022 denominations of the Christian world, we think he needs our help. And so we will involve ourselves in details that belong to God. God himself. I am very intrigued by Abraham. Very intrigued by Abraham. If you want to learn how to have a good marriage, find someone that's been married to the same person for a long time. Say, well, man, I got 3 marriages under my belt. Yeah, I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for the one. That's bad. I shouldn't have made that joke. I'm sorry. I'm looking for the one that stayed married to the same person a long time so I could come and say, I'd like to know how. Okay, I want to be a good parent. I got 5 teenagers at home, right? I want to learn. So I'm going to go talk to someone, not that has the baby in the nursery, but the one that has the kids walking with the diplomas and they're married and they have businesses. I want to know how to be successful. And so you hang out with successful people. If you want to know how to have faith, you ought to hang out with the father of the faith. You know Abraham. You know who? They wrote songs about him. He had many sons. And I don't want to brag. I'm one of them. I know, but so are you. Let's all praise the Lord. Left arm. This man was so close to God that Genesis 18:22, God sends his angels to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Bible says, but the Lord remained with Abraham. That's Genesis 18:22. I have that one underlined in my Bible with arrows. Because when I first read it, I said, what is it about this man that would cause God himself to say, I'm going to just stay here. I want to hang out with Abraham. I understand people wanting to go and spend time with God. I understand people that want to press in and be in the presence of Jehovah. But there was something about this man that caused Almighty God to say, I am going to remain with Abraham. And so this started this ongoing conversation between God and I. Lord, what is it about me? I want you to remain with me. What is it about me? We could easily do in Pentecost. I get into a bunch of condemnation. God, what am I doing wrong? Lord, where am I failing you? He said, you haven't failed me. You just haven't realized that I've already fulfilled this for you. I said, I want you to remain with me. He said, I remained with you longer than I remained with Abraham. I said, Lord, how? He said, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, I made you the temple of the Holy Ghost. That was me showing you that I want to remain with you. He said, I'm always there. I'm just a conversation away. I'm just a prayer away. It's just sometimes you don't come and consult with me because you think you have the answers. This man was so in tune with God that God said, I want to remain with him. God takes on a form and comes and visits this house and promises Abraham, you're going to have a child. Imagine being in your 90s. Forget being in your 90s. Imagine being in your 40s. Surprise, there's another baby. Oh my God. I'm in my mid-40s right now. Just the thought of it right now makes me want to sit down and take a Rolaid or something. Maybe Rolaid and Tums. There's someone out there that's 40 with a baby stroller. Forgive me for picking on you. I love you. Just God bless you. You. The promise comes. And Abraham here. Now, there's 2 things that happen in the story when the promise comes. We'll get to Sarah in a minute. I'm going to focus on my man Abraham for a moment. The promise comes, and then Abraham starts trying to figure out how it's going to come to be. So this is, we said this is the year of the answered prayer. We said this is the year of the breakthrough. God said it through us. We've prophesied. We've declared it. We've said, I don't know if it's coming in January, March, May, April, August. I don't know when it's coming, but God is going to answer prayers this year. God, by December 2025, I prophesy, you're not going to be praying the same prayers that you're praying right now. I believe it. And the Lord, and I'm very careful with prophecy. I'm very careful corporate words. And I said, Lord, I don't want to release a corporate word because I don't know what everyone is living through. He said, the word will be for those that will come into covenant with the word. That means you agree with the word. You live according to the word. And so we're believing, we're declaring this is the year of the answered prayer. This is the year of breakthrough. This is the year you're coming out of addiction. This is the year that you're going to grow in God. This is the year that God's going to bless you financially. This is the year that you're not going to keep falling in the same rut that you've always fallen in. This is the year you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. The year your children are going to live for God. The year that God's going to bless your marriage. But in between word, between conception and fulfillment is a whole lot of space. And it's the space that sometimes gets us crazy, trying to figure out how, trying to process it. It got so crazy. How crazy did it get? Thank you for asking. It got so crazy that Abraham said, hey, Sarah, what's up with your employee over there, Hagar? Because she looks a little younger. Maybe she can help us. Okay? And I don't know if you saw the news today, something historic, something very needed in the world happened today. There was a ceasefire in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas. And we thank the Lord for peace coming in this season right now and for hostages being released. But I want you to know that what this whole drama that's happening in the Middle East today is a result of Abraham trying to help God out. Abraham gave birth to an Ishmael because he couldn't trust God and just wait for the Isaac. Many times we create our own mess, our own monsters. We create our own dilemmas because when God doesn't work quick enough for us, we go and start creating stuff. We create Ishmaels in our life. We create our own enemies. And then thousands of years later, okay, and I'm not hating on Abraham. I thank the Lord that he left the story so that we could learn. Thousands of years later, there's still conflict on the earth because Abraham didn't trust God with the details. I'm here in the name of the Lord to tell you, to admonish you, to trust God with the details of what he's trying to do in your family. Trust God with the details of what he's trying to do in your marriage. Trust God. You say, if you had all the answers, you wouldn't need God. If you knew how to do it, you wouldn't be where you are. Therefore, I trust God and say, God, I don't know how. I don't know when, but I'm letting go and I'm just going to let you have your way and I'm just going to praise you because I know that I can't carry this yoke. I know I can't fix this situation, but I thank you, Lord, that I know one. I know one that can heal, he can deliver, he can set free. And so rather than me handle this, I'm going to upgrade it to the right department. Come on, someone. I'm going to upgrade it to the one that can make a wrong right. Got to trust God with the details. Now, we picked a little bit on Abraham, and then we're going to wrap this all up. We're going to put a bow on it, and we're going to finish and pray for people. We picked a little bit on Brother Abraham. Now, let's go talk about Sister Sarah, because I'm very intrigued by this story. Cole and I were getting on an airplane. I don't think I told this story here. Cole and I were getting on an airplane. We were flying to Denver. Sometimes I have Cole travel with me as my armor bearer. And so we're getting on an airplane, and something not spiritual happened to me. We're going to get on a 4.5-hour flight from Knoxville to Denver, and I realize I have not downloaded anything to watch on the airplane. You ever been there? And they're going to start boarding, and I'm like, the devil is a liar. I need something. I need at least 2 Seinfelds or something. Lord, help me find something. And while I'm getting on the airplane trying to find something to download, in my spirit, not an audible voice, in my spirit, I heard God shout in my spirit, there is nothing too hard for me. And I might be in jeans, but I'm still, you know, churchy, right? And when it hit me right there in the airport, I said, glory to I shimmied and I went backwards. And, you know, I got Cole traveling with me. And so sometimes he's the catcher for the people and sometimes he's my catcher. He just keep them close, right? Well, like all of our teenagers right now, he wears a hoodie. Doesn't matter if it's 105 degrees or 5 degrees. And he's always got those headphones on. So he's got his hoodie on, headphones on. And the Lord hit me and I said, whoo. And I went right back into Cole, and the man is allegedly knows how to catch, okay? He didn't lay me out nicely like Brother Donnie would have. He didn't go get me a modesty blanket and lay it over my legs and fan me right there in the Knoxville airport. I went, whoa, and he pushed me. He's like, swear to God, Dad, you better stop right now. I'll walk right out of this airport. And the thing, I can't hold my Holy Ghost liquor, okay? I get real tipsy real quick in the spirit, and I'm like, whoo! I mean, it hit me. It hit me in the airport. And so I'm walking onto the airplane, borderline drunk, and the whole time, Cole's just pushing me in the back. Dad, stop. Dad, stop. This is so embarrassing. Dad, stop. We're not even in church yet. We get to the chair. I sit down, and I'm just still, whoo! Flight attendant walks by. Can I get anyone something to drink? Oh, you've already had something to drink. And I, you know, you feel when someone's looking at you. I look over and there's just Cole dead staring at me. Why? That's all he said. Why? Why do you do the things you do? Why are you the way you are? Dad? Oh, and he put his hoodie back on and just looked at the window the rest of the flight. Well, now, you know, I'm trying to come to, and I realize we're about to take off. I still don't have anything to watch. So I go to Instagram trying to find, I don't know why, like you can watch anything on Instagram on the plane, but I go, and there's just a little clip, and it's of a conference, a church conference, a convocation from the mid-90s, and it's back in the days when our podiums would have like 5 or 7 microphones, because you had one for the tape ministry, one for the radio, one for the television, one for the live studio audience, one for the nursery. And so when you would preach in those days, you'd have to sway. Not so much because of the leading of the Spirit, but so that everyone could hear the same thing you're saying. So, I mean, the preachers would just, you'd kind of lean in. I can't lean in on Pastor Hooper's because I'm a little too short for this podium, but you would just kind of lean in and just, you just kind of sway while you're preaching to hit all the mic. And so it intrigued me because I'm an old soul. And so I saw the video. It intrigued me. And the bishop has leaned in and he said, I want to tell someone, there is nothing too hard for God. And I said, oh, Lord, that is the second time I have heard that. And so I'm just trying to mind my business. I go and I start playing a song and I'm watching the video and it's Hezekiah Walker and it's a full choir and they're clapping and they got choir robes on. You remember choir robes? Choir robes were like the blood of Jesus. It didn't matter what you wore to church, the robe would cover it all. Hallelujah. And I'm they got the robes on. They got the big sleeves and they're just clapping. It looks like angels are up there singing. And I'm like, whoo, that looks like my kind of music. And I click on the video and they're singing, there is nothing too hard for God, nothing too hard for God. I said, Lord, I perceive you're trying to tell me something. He said, I have shouted it at you, I've preached it at you, and I've now sung it at you. There is nothing too hard for me. He said, I want you to decree to my people, remind my people that there is nothing too hard for God. And you tell them I can. I said, you can what? He said, let them fill in the blank. They know what they're believing me for. You just let them know I can heal that marriage. I can heal their body. I can bring them out of addiction. I can do this. I can work the miracle. There's nothing too hard for me. But they have to trust me with the details. They have to let me work it out. Now that leads to Sister Sarah, because when the promise originally come, now remember, I took you to the ending before I took you to the beginning. Genesis 21 says, and the Lord kept his word and did exactly what he promised. But when the promise came in chapter 18, there's a lot of interesting details in this story of this family of faith. God comes to visit this house, and in verse 9, he asks, where is Sarah, your wife, speaking to Abraham? He's about to give them a promise of a child. He says, where is Sarah? And Abraham says, she's in the tent. And the first detail that stuck out to me is that God never said, well, go get her. I want to talk to y'all. God never included her in the conversation. And this conversation has a little something to do with her. In fact, to every mother in this room, it's got a whole lot to do with her and not so much to do with him. God comes to visit, says, where is Sarah? Well, she's in the tent. And he never said, go get her. And God starts giving a word, a promise of a child that's going to be born. Now, Sarah is like me. I could be seated in a restaurant here. But if it gets interesting at a table over there, I could be seated here. But my ear, hallelujah, is over there. I have some kind of supernatural ability to be able to contort my ear somehow. I'm physically with you, but I'm no longer paying attention because table 11 seems a little more interesting. So I will drop that napkin just so I can get a little closer. I'll go to the bathroom 3 times. I want to know why you keep stomping your foot under the table, looking calm up here, but all down there. I want to know. I'm nosy. Sarah is in the tent, but her ear is outside the tent. And she hears God say, about this time next year, Sarah is going to have a child. And the Bible says that when Sarah heard it, she laughed silently. Verse 12. I'm going to tie this all into what this has to do with you and revival in just a minute here. Verse 12 says, she laughed silently. How'd she laugh? For the Spanish speakers in the room, se rió silenciosamente, silently. She didn't laugh like one of my relatives in Colombia. Man, you couldn't hide anything. I mean, they're the loudest people. You hear them 2 blocks away. She laughed silently, and she talked to herself. She said, how could a worn-out woman like me? Is that what she said? Yes. How could an old, worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my man is so old? Now, get the interpretation of what she's saying. She's saying, I'm not the problem. I know I'm old, but he's real old. I could if I wanna. I just don't know if he can. I'm gonna leave it at that. You can discern it beyond that. She's literally saying, I'm not the issue here. I just don't know if he can. What is she doing? She's making an excuse for the miracle not to take place. She's already talking herself out. She doesn't want to get too excited. I don't know how many times she had prayed for a child before and it hadn't come to pass. I don't know how many things had gone wrong in her life. All I know is that when a word of prophecy, a word of promise comes to her, when it seems like something good is about to happen to her, she's got to talk herself out of the miracle. Oh, there's just no way. I'm too old. He's too old. He's really too old. Even if I wanna, he can't. And so this can't happen. And God says, why did Sarah laugh? Wait, how did she laugh though? How did God hear her laugh then? It turns out that a lack of faith rings loudly in the courts of heaven. If the word of faith moves heaven, it turns out that he can also hear the lack of faith. He hears what you say when no one's watching. He hears when we scoff at the word. He hears those private conversations when we say, he can bless everyone, but he can't bless me. He can do it for them, but he can't do it for me. I'm this, I'm that. God hears that. He hears our laugh, our ridicule. I don't even know if that's true. I don't even know if God still heals in 24 or 25. I don't know. I don't know if all that stuff is true. God says, why did she laugh? Why did she say what she said? And Sarah did what we do. She said, I didn't laugh. When my kids were younger, because now, you know, everyone gets along in the house. But when they were much younger, I could come home and they would be fighting from all 3 levels of the house. And I got this ninja anointing. where I can come in without my shoes and I'll just slide in my socks. They don't even know I'm in the house. And I would just sit there and I'd just listen. And Michael's yelling at Cole and Cole's yelling at Zachary and everyone's spread out all over the house. And this one's yelling. And I'd just get in the middle of the house and I'd say, "Hey, what's going on?" And like a choir in harmony, they'd say, "Nothing." God comes and says, What are you laughing about? What are you saying?" And she says, "I didn't say anything." God said, "No, I heard it. And now I understand." Verse 9. He said, "Where's your wife?" And he said, "Oh, she's in the tent." Now I understand why God never included her in the conversation. Musicians, come, because now I'm going to tie this all up and we're going to get into ministry. Now I understand why God, because I've been trying to understand, why didn't God include her in the conversation? And then it occurred to me, she couldn't handle the information that was being discussed in the conversation. If you would have given Sarah all the details, she couldn't have handled it. Sometimes it is the grace of God that does not reveal his entire plan to us. Sometimes, now, but look, just, I know I'm jumping around, but later on in verse 17, God says, "How could I hide my plan from Abraham?" There's a measure. If you can trust God with the details and just walk by faith and not by sight, you will come to a place where you no longer have to walk in the darkness. You can walk in the light. If you can trust him with today's details, I believe you can graduate to a place in faith where all of a sudden God will change. He'll say, "You know what? I can't hide my detail. I can't hide my plans. Let me tell you what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it." The question is, could you handle the details? If you would have come and told Tony Suarez in 2014, "You're going to live through two funerals. You're going to bury your father, and then you're going to bury your first wife. You're going to be a single dad of three, and then I'm going to take you from Virginia to Tennessee, and the story of your marriage to Jessica, and subsequently what happened to your children is going to be told all around the world, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." If you would have told that to me in 2014, I'd have been like Sarah. I'd have laughed. I couldn't handle the details. I had to trust God with the details. Your pastor, who I affectionately call Bishop, is my big brother. He walked through those dark seasons with me. The lonely nights, the dark times, where the man is he's a husband and a father and pastoring a church, and then he's got to deal with my midnight phone call. Hoop. "I don't know what I'm going to do." Like, "Well, bud, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go to sleep right now. And let's talk about this over a steak tomorrow." Man, those steaks came through, y'all. Hallelujah. But Hoop could tell you almost as good as I can that I didn't see the details. I didn't see how God was going to connect the dots. I didn't see how victory was going to come. I didn't see how I was going to get out of a bad situation, get out of certain emotions or feel. I couldn't see the light. But I had to learn to trust God with the details. And God made a way. I can look back at those years and say, "Wow, I see God's fingerprint all over the story." And I can also look back at the story and say, "I should have trusted God a little more right here. Almost had a little Ishmael right here. Almost wouldn't have made it, but I had to trust God with the details." In this year of miracles, in this year of answered prayers, one of the greatest miracles that's going to cause heaven to smile is we're going to trust God with the details. We're going to let God do the work. And rather than us mess it up and make it more difficult, we're just going to trust God. We are going to let go and let God. When's the last time you actually took your need, your burden, and you left it in the hands of God. Most people pray and they're just holding on. But when's the last time you actually left it in the hands of the Lord? Would you stand with me all over this house?